Good morning. We discussed last week the concept of Uman Koinen B'Shvach Kli. Case was a person had a car. One night he hears a big crash outside, runs outside. He sees an 18-wheeler ran over his car. It's now just a hunk of metal. He brings it to a mechanic who says, you know what, although it was a salvage and the insurance paid him, the mechanic says, I can fix it for you. The mechanic goes ahead, fixes the car, calls him up, and said, after he finishes the repair, the mechanic takes it for a test drive to make sure that everything is working well and is in order. And while he was going for the test drive, he smashes the car up. So he's a mazik. The mechanic has to pay. And the question was, how much does he have to pay? On one hand, the current value of the car, now that it's fixed, it's in good condition, is, let's say, $10,000. So he should have to pay the current value of the car. On the other hand, what he was given a hunk of metal. At that point, it was only worth $1,000. The car was totaled. That's what he was given. So does he pay the $1,000, the value of the car that he was given, or does he pay the $10,000, which was the value after it was fixed? So this depends on the sugya of Uman Koinen B'Shvach Kli. That if you look at it, that when an Uman is fixing the item, he's fixing it on behalf of the owner. So then, every time as he improves it, the owner's car became more and more valuable. So when it's done, the owner is now the proud owner of a $10,000 car. If the Uman is mazikit, he pays the $10,000 because that's what he damaged. On the other hand, if you hold Uman Koinen B'Shvach Kli, that means that when the Uman is working on it, when he's fixing it, in a sense, he's working for himself. He owns the value of the improvement, which when it's ready, when he delivers it to the owner, at that point, he's selling it to the owner for $10,000. If that's the case, then when the Uman smashes the car, he smashed his value, his improvement, and he would only have to pay the owner the $1,000 that the car was originally worth. Now, this we mentioned is a machlokes, Uman Koinen B'Shvach Kli, Ein Uman Koinen B'Shvach Kli, the Mechaber Paskins, Ein Uman Koinen B'Shvach Kli, that the Uman does not become he does not own the improvement, and therefore, according to the Mechaber, the mechanic would have to pay the full $10,000. You'd obviously have to pay him for the work that he did, but the Uman's the improvement belongs to the owner, and he'd be entitled to the full value. The Shach, on the other hand, said it was a machlokes, it's a sveka d'dina, and therefore the mochzik would win. If you're trying to make the owner, the Uman, pay you, he would be able to say kimli that Uman koinen B'Shvach Kli, and therefore he'd only have to pay the original $1,000. Now, we had mentioned a second case as well, where you commissioned an artist to make a portrait. After he finished the portrait, you provided him with a canvas, you provided him with a paints, but after he finished it, he got insulted by your reaction and he was mazikin. So this would seem to depend on the same machlokes. If Ein Uman Koinen B'Shvach Kli, then he destroyed your portrait, he'd have to pay the full value of the finished painting. And however, if you hold Uman Koinen B'Shvach Kli, it was his painting, his portrait, all he would have to reimburse you is for the value of the canvas, the value of the paint, and that's it. But you're very right. It's his canvas and his paint. If the raw materials belong to the Uman, then everyone agrees this whole issue doesn't begin. Because then it belonged to him. When he's finished, he sells it to me. So if he's mazikin, then he won't sell it to me. The whole discussion doesn't start. The shvach certainly belongs to him. The discussion is only when the owner provides the materials. It's his car. You improve it. There we have this machlokes. Now, so why is the painting a little bit different? So the Gemara discusses a case where you gave an Uman some wool and you gave him some dye in order to dye it a certain color. So the Gemara there says that question of Uman Koinen B'Shvach Kli does not apply. Because there we say that the Uman's not really doing anything. He's just putting the dye, slapping the dye onto the wool. He's getting paid for his work, for his labor, but it's not his shvach. Now, what this seems to be is that if I give you wood and you carve the wood into a table, into a break front, so that's your umnis, that's your expertise, your craftsmanship that creates the value. In that case, we have, according to some shitas, umun koine shvach kli. On the other hand, if there's dye and there's wool and all you do is you slap them together, so when it's together, it's not your craftsmanship that's creating the value. You just put two things that belong to me together. We look at you as not as a craftsman creating value. You get paid for your wages, and you do not say umun koine shvach kli. Zakhnu Nesivas, he takes this a step further. When a person writes a get, assuming the parchment and the ink belong to the husband, what did the sefer do? He just took the ink and slapped it on the parchment. Zakhnu Nesivas, in such a case, that's not like carving out a table or something where you're umnis. That is nothing more than agar schar yodei hunoitel. You do not say umun koine shvach kli. And that's how Nesivas, we discussed last week, the Pnei Yeshua's Kasha, about with a get of a cut and writes it. We're not going to go through that again. But yet, the Nesivas says there's no umun koine shvach kli in such a case because it's nothing more, it's the ink, just being the ink, putting the ink on the paper. Imkain, what? Sefer Torah, a painting, all these things, the Nesivas would say, umun koine shvach kli does not apply. In which case, when you have this artist that commissioned the painting, according to the Nesivas, everyone would agree, ain't umun koine shvach kli. It's my paint, it's my canvas, and therefore the value belongs to me. The artist would have to pay the full value. Most Achroinim argue on this. And they say, there's no comparison. When you dye wool, you have the wool, you have the dye. All you have to do is put them together. And once you put it together, it's not my umness. All I needed is I needed to have a big vat. I needed to not be worried about the smells, and I put it together. There's no grois or umnis involved. That's where the Gemara says, you know, umun's not koine shvach kli in such a case. However, to write a sefer Torah, it's true the ink and the parchment belongs to the owner, but to write the letters correctly is a tremendous umnis. To paint a Rembrandt seems to be a dvar chachma, and it's an umnis. So in such a case, most Achroinim say the Gemara wouldn't, it's not doyim to this Gemara, and it would be depend on the same machlokes of umun koine shvach kli or not, and therefore we'd have the same machlokes, and it would be at the end of the day a seka didina. So now let's shift the case slightly. The case that until now we were talking about, you had your car. You woke up one morning to find it was smashed by an 18-wheeler. You brought it to the mechanic. So he improved it, he fixed it, and then before giving it back to you, he took it for a test drive, he was mazik it again, and that was our discussion. Does he pay the value at the time after it was fixed, or does he pay the original value? Let's shift the case slightly. You had your car. You wake up one morning, you find that it's been totaled, an 18-wheeler steamrolled it, it's a piece of junk. You bring it to the mechanic, he does a great job. He takes this car, he restores it to pristine, like new condition. Gives you a call, lets you know that it's ready for you to pick it up. You come down to the mechanic shop, you're in there, you're about to pay him, you hear a crash. You go outside, and sure enough, there's an 18-wheeler parked on top of your car. It's totaled again. What happens next? Now, you don't even have insurance, because your insurance already paid for the salvage car. So who is responsible for the damage? So what is the halacha of an uman? If you hire a mechanic to fix your car, what is his halacha? So we discussed by Arichus 3 and 4 weeks ago. He has a din of a shomer sachar. Shomer, so he's getting paid for his work. He has a din of a shomer sachar. Now, he might be a shomer sachar, but in this case, and again, this is probably an oinus. There's nothing he could have done. An 18-wheeler barrel, a drunken 18-wheeler that comes and smashes the car, it's presumably an oinus. There's nothing he could have done to stop that. Now, again, you want to argue about the case, yes, no, but let's just assume it's an oinus gomer. Lightning strikes, the car is gone. Is a shomer sachar chayiv for an oinus? No. He's not chayiv for an oinus. So the halacha is, the mechanic is not responsible for the damage. Okay, he's not responsible for the damage. You're fine. You can't bill him for the car. As you turn to leave, he says, wait, not so fast. Pay me for my work. I fixed the car for you. I did everything I was supposed to do. It's in perfect condition. Now, I feel very bad that an 18-wheeler steamrolled it, but that wasn't my fault. I didn't do anything wrong. And therefore, not only am I potter, you should pay me for the work. The owner, on the other hand, says, what do you mean? You never gave it to me. I never was nana from it. You never, if you returned the car to me and then it was smashed, I hear. But you never gave it back to me. So halacha is, in such a case, the uman is right. Since he did his work, even if he didn't actually return it to the owner, once there is an oinus, that is the equivalent of a hashava, and you have to pay him in full. So not only are you out the car, you have to pay the mechanic the $9,000, whatever it was that he was supposed to get paid for the improvement. Okay, excellent. So the Divrei Mishpat says your argument. He says, if you hold ein uman kaino shvachli, so when the mechanic fixed the car, he fixed my car. Every time he does work, I now owe him a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more. Even if ein seiros mishalem is el b'sayf, if you only pay at the end, but as time goes on, you're working for me, I should have to pay you. However, if uman kaino shvachli, if we look at it as you were improving it for yourself, and you sell that improvement at the end, in this case, you never had an opportunity to sell it. Different Mishpat says, if you hold uman kaino shvachli, this halacha would be different. However, he points out that according to the Ktzayis and the Nesivos that we mentioned, Uman Kain Shvach Kli doesn't mean literally it's his. It doesn't mean you're a regular partner. The way they learn is that the improvement belongs to the owner, but it's a mashkin. It's collateral that the Uman has to hold back until he gets paid. Or the way the Rajba added, you hold it back so at least you shouldn't be responsible as a mazik. However, Zakta Divrei Mishpat, since the improvement really belongs to the owner in such a case, therefore, even if, according to the Ktzayis and Nesivos, even if Uman Kain Shvach Kli, still the owner had much of the value, you only had to keep it as a mashkin, and therefore you still would have to pay the Uman for the work that he did. So in such a case, not only will the owner not get back his item, he will have to reimburse, he's going to have to pay the poyo for the work that he did. There was actually a story a number of years ago that there was a dry cleaners, that there was a fire, the entire thing burned down with, can you imagine how many, shirts and pants and suits, etc. So in such a case, assuming that the fire was an oinus, the dry cleaners would have the right to send all of the customers whose items were ready to be picked up, can send them a bill, because we cleaned your suit. We're very sorry that the whole thing burned down, but that was an oinus. It wasn't our fault. So not only are you out of suit, but you also have to pay us for the fact that we cleaned it before it got burnt. In halacha, there's no obligation to have insurance. In halacha is your shomer sachar. You'll be responsible for geneva v'aveda, but for an oinus that happens, there's an earthquake, there's a flood, you're not responsible. So there's no responsibility to insure for something that al pi halacha you're not responsible for. Now, you want to create a minhag that today there are minhagim, maybe. And, okay, if there's a minhag to have insurance, and then maybe he may even be chai mikra hadin if it rises to the level of minhag. But that's a practical point, which might be true, but you'd have to look at each case. Is this widespread or universal to have such insurance in Enochrami? If it's universal to take responsibility for such things, it's very likely you'd be responsible because of the minhag. Well, you pay when you pick it up, that's because until you pay, they're not going to let you take it. But the point is, once it was an oinus, they did everything that was incumbent upon them, their job was completed. There's nothing that they haven't done that they were supposed to, and therefore they're entitled to get paid for the work that they did. He's entitled to the profit. Because look at it this way. He did his job. Just like if the customer picked it up, and then the next morning the customer's house burned down, that's not a reason for the uman to lose out. He did his work. He's entitled to his pay and for his profit. Here as well, he did his work. You owe him the money. Now here, he's a shomer. Once he finishes the job, he remains a shomer. And as a shomer, he tried watching it. Lightning struck. That wasn't his fault. That doesn't take away the fact that he did the job and he's entitled to get paid. Now, the Ramah brings down another new halacha, which we'll go through briefly. The halacha itself is very unclear how to apply it, but again, we'll see. Similar halacha comes up very, very frequently. Rama writes, "Habanoi shekibo lov lister hakoisel." B'shibar avonim, you hire a contractor to do some demolition. He's knocking down a wall and he breaks the rocks. So in that case, oyhizik, chayev l'shalim. So he's responsible to pay because he's a mazik. Adamur lo'olam, he smashed the rocks, he has to pay. Now, Ramos says in second halacha, oyhizik, that if he's doing his demolition, he knocks the rocks down and it hurts someone else. It's on the floor, someone trips on it and gets hurt. So there, the banoi, the contractor, is the one that's liable. He's the one that put the rock in the street. He's the one that's responsible to pay. The Shita Mekubetzes brings down from the Meiri and Ravenu Yoinasan a tremendous chiddush. This halacha, that it's the contractor's liability, is when he's a kabbalah, when he is an independent contractor. On the other hand, if he is a poyel, you hire a laborer to go ahead and do the demolition for you, there, the Shita says, the poyel and the Baal HaBayis together split the damage. If it hurts someone else, the owner still has responsibility, and he and the worker both chip in. Now, it's not entirely clear why. What it seems is that since there, when you have an independent contractor, you just give him the job, you say, you take care of this, and you leave him to his own devices. He does the work when and how he chooses. In that case, he's responsible for whatever results, and if he hurts someone else, he has to pay. In the case of a poyel, it seems, there you're hiring the poyel. It's still you're the one who's supervising the job. You're not nostalgic from your shmirah. And therefore, when the poyel messes up, when you're the one giving him directions, we look at it as if you're both doing this together, and you share responsibility. Again, others say it's because it's your rocks, so it's like a shutzvis. Your rock was damaging. It's the poyel's one that put it there, and therefore there's some form of shutzvis. Discussion in the Achronim. However, in a similar case, what happens? Let's go back to our dry cleaners. You bring your shirt to the cleaners, and in this case, the entire establishment didn't burn down, but when they were ironing your shirt, they burnt your shirt. And they ruined it. So you pick up the shirt, you notice that it's damaged, and you tell the person, you're a mazik, you ruined my shirt, I want you to pay. So, it was actually a story once, and someone called with a shayla. The owner of the dry cleaner said, you're right. It got damaged, adam ul olam, you have every right to demand the value of the shirt. But I'm not the guy sitting in the back ironing everyone's shirt. I have a bunch of workers, none of them speak English, and they're the ones that do the actual work. So I'm going to give you Jose's cell phone number, give him a call, and send him a hazmona, bring him to Bez, and try to collect the value of the shirt. He is the mazik. What is the halacha? Now, l'chayra, the dry cleaners is right. Adamor lo'ilam, that's the person that did the damage has to pay. If the owner of the establishment is certainly not the mazik, and therefore he should be off the hook, and as a matter of strict halacha, he probably is. Yes, so shayver shloshim is generally responsible. However, and the big however is, if you know that one shomer will give it to a second shomer, then the first shomer is not responsible, because that's the expectation. Zok the Yeruch Shai in a chanami. In halacha, you're probably off the hook. However, he says, in his case, it's actually a case of shomer shel masel l'shomer. It's true the minog is you know it's going to be given to a shomer, but he says it's also understood that the owner takes responsibility for his employees. You would not pull Jose off the street, hand him an iron, and say, work on my shirt. The only reason why you're trusting him is you're dealing with a reputable establishment, you have an address to go to make sure that it doesn't get damaged and he doesn't walk off with the shirt, he doesn't steal it. And therefore, the Eruch Shai says that the minog was that your makabel achrayis for your workers, and therefore you would be chayiv because of that. There's a Yamshel Shleimi, a similar concept that says if you lend something to a married woman, it says the husband will be responsible, even though technically he can say, what do you want from me? Deal with my wife. It's not my problem. And then if the wife loses the Din Torah, she'll say, I don't have any money, it belongs to my husband. So there's a whole game that can be played. Nevertheless, he says, a svara, since No one would lend anything to a woman if the husband didn't take achrayas. It's understood that you do take achrayas, a very, very similar svara. And in all likelihood today, I think that this is there is such an umdun and such a minhag that people take responsibility for their employees. And this can happen very frequently. You hire a contractor or a delivery person, and the people that come in may not be careful. They may cause damage in the house. So in general, it's understood you can go after the owner for the damage. That was his second taina. The first argument was, what do you want from me? And then, in tins lamer, it's taina against me. What's the value of a used shirt? For some reason, he's not in business anymore. I'm not sure much what. So being right in Chosh and Mishpat is not necessarily wise business practice. Minimal. Something not replacement value, not really, because think about it. Your shirt, it was a shmata, it was 3 years old. It's not fair to, because when this shirt gets damaged, why should the response or the result be that I have to pay for a brand new shirt? You're getting richer off this problem. So paying that current value means you had a used shirt, I'm going to give you enough money, you can buy a different used shirt. If he's a known ganav, then he's probably a mazik. You're giving it over to a ganav is mazik. But in the typical case, you know, he's no more or less of a ganav than any of the other people who work in this kind of establishment. So this is what we've discussed until now. What happens if the uman is mazik the item? We've discussed what happens if the item gets lost or stolen. The next halacha, and this is the most common by far, is what happens if you hire a contractor. They do the job, but they don't follow instructions very carefully. A woman orders a gown for a simcha. Again, she provides the materials, she provides them, and she has this style that she wants to do, where she's having someone dye it, and the person doesn't follow instructions. They dye it the wrong color. So it's the day before the wedding, the gown finally arrives, the whole color scheme of the chasana is silver, and this gown is purple. What happens then? Or you hire a contractor to do some renovations in your house, and they don't follow the blueprints. They change things around. There's an improvement, but it's not what you asked them to do. You're painting the house for Pesach. They do the wrong colors. So what happens then? So We've discussed by Riches the concept of a Yoyrit Shloi Bershos. If while you're here at the shir, when you come home, you discover that while you were gone, someone came into your house and painted your house. So your house actually needed a little bit of a freshening up. It's been a couple of years since your last paint job. So he certainly gave you value. He improved your house. On the other hand, you never hired him. You never asked him to do it. And in your order of priorities, what you do with your spare cash, painting your house might not be that high on the list. What is that look? So it depends. Asada hasu yolita. If it's work that needed to be done, if your pipe bursts in the middle of the winter, and there's water just flooding through the basement, someone notices it and fixes it, there he's entitled to his full pay. Because it's asada hasu yolita. You needed this job done. If you would have known about it, you would have had to call someone. This person saved you the effort. He did it on his own. He gets paid the full amount that you pay a plumber to do this repair. It's asuyolita. That's because it's an emergency repair that needed to be done. Painting your house probably is not in that bad condition. It's not so desperate. So some people would pay, some people won't paint. Lav dafka, did someone have to paint this house? In this case, the halacha is, by ein asu yolita, it was not oimid lakach, you pay the lesser of the shvach or the hoitza, which means we figure out what the cost of the painting was. Not what a painter would charge you, but you take the cost of the paint, the brushes, the actual labor that went into it, that is the hoitza, that's the cost. Then we look at the shvach. What did you benefit from the fact that this house is now freshly painted? The house goes up in value, there's a hanor from it, there's a benefit from it. You pay the lesser of the shvach or the hoitza. In other words, the person will never make money off the deal. He'll never get more than his expenses. But even his expenses, he'll only get reimbursed for his expenses if you benefit from it. But to the extent that it costs him $1,000 of expenses, but he only improved the house $500, the yoyer is the one that's going to take the loss because no one asked him to do it. He can't bill you for his expenses if you didn't get anything from it. So basically, if you have hana'ah, you have to pay for that hana'ah to the shear of the hoitzah, so that the person doesn't lose money. But you never pay more than either the shvach or the hoitzah, whichever one is less. This is a case of a yoyer shelo b'rishus. No one asked him to do it. Our case is slightly different. You did ask him to do it. You asked him to paint the house. You just asked him to paint it white and decided to paint it green. You asked the person to make the dress or to dye it. Just you asked him to do one color, he did a different color.
What was the last item you said in terms of hoitzos?
So Rashi, and the Shach learns that everyone agrees to this, says that when we figure out his expenses, it doesn't mean what he spent at Home Depot for the actual paint. It means if he worked 5 hours, you take the minimum wage of a painter, whatever that may be, and you give him 5 hours worth of, and you pay him for those 5 hours. When you hire a painter to do your house, he builds in a profit above the actual labor. He gets paid for supervising, for whatever else it is. That profit he's not going to get because you didn't hire him.
So that sum could be substantial over and above the materials.
It could be substantial because if to paint a house, it takes 50 man hours to do it. You'll get paid for 50 man hours. So it's not going to be profit, but it will be the actual cost. The actual way it does, what it costs someone to get this job done. So this is all by Yerush Leibir Shos when he did it on his own initiative. Our case, on one hand, you hired him to do it, but you hired him to do a different job, which he didn't perform correctly. So what is the halacha in this case? So this is a machlokes. The machaber, the way the smal learns at least, holds that this is the same thing as a yoyrid. You hired him to make a gown one coat silver, and they made it a different color. So our deal is off. It's like I never hired you. So all I pay you is the shvach or the hoitzah, which at whatever is less. Although we had a deal, that deal was never fulfilled. So it's the equivalent of just you doing it on your own initiative without any discussion. You get paid the lesser of the shvach or the hoitzah. No, so 100%. The case over here is only relevant if I provided them with the material and they went ahead and they made the changes. If I order a gown and they come back with the wrong color, that's not yoyrid. That's not Uman, that's not Shinoi, that's a Mekach u'Memkar. So if I ordered one thing, you provide me something else, I can say I'm not buying this. So you're 100% right. If I order it from you and the materials belong to the Uman, there it's a whole different discussion. There it's Mekach u'Memkar, and if you're not delivering what I ordered, I can say forget it. I'm not interested, and I'll go somewhere else. But the flip side is also true. If you come with the wrong color, and the client says I'm not interested, now the problem is the wedding is in 12 hours. You're not interested. If you're not going to find another dress, you're going to be stuck. In that case, the seller can say, listen, I'm very sorry there was a misunderstanding. It's the wrong color. If you don't want to buy it, you don't have to buy it. But if you do want it, this is my price. I'm not giving you a discount. If it's Nekach u'Memkar, it's true they're not delivering what they're supposed to. But if you choose to take delivery anyway, it's going to have to be on the seller's terms. So on one hand, you're much better off if it's your materials because you'll pay like a yoyrid, you'll pay less. But on the other hand, if it's a Mekach u'Memkar, while you can't be forced to take it, if you do want it, the seller can play hardball and say, this is my price, take it or leave it. He could try, but it would be a hard argument to win for a number of reasons. First of all, assuming it was a mistake, it was an oinus. Garmi ba'oinus is potter, v'shoigig is debatable. It's also hard to be moitzi mamon when it's a real shoigig. Even if it's not really a financial loss. It's true. You would have picked out that gown that matched all the flowers, and you would have been happier that way. But that's not, distress and suffering is, an American court specialty. In Besdin, they focus on whether there's a financial loss. And ultimately, the wedding went through, happily married or not, but whether or not your gown matched doesn't really make anyone poorer or richer. Not really, because the bottom line is, this is the gown. The Uman says, this is the cost of the gown. Take it or leave it. It might not be kind, it might not be good business practice, but this is the cost of the gown. And he's saying, if you don't like the color, I'll sell it to somebody else. I apologize for the mistake. But the remedy for my mistake in ordering the wrong color is not that I have to now sell it to you at below my cost. The remedy is, I made a mistake, you don't have to buy it. Again, Masha Ein Kein, if it's my materials that you improved, there, you improved it, didn't have a yoyrid. So now in the case, in a yoyrid, for example, in the case of a gown, when the dressmaker makes a price with you, she's not just charging for the actual labor and the materials. There's a profit that's built in for her. So in such a case, where she's delivering the wrong item, it's a yoyrid shel ber shus, there the hoitzah will not build in that profit she expected to make. It's going to be the actual cost of the labor that went in, the minimum cost of the labor and the actual materials, so she will end up getting paid a lot less. The overhead for the store, the advertising, don't go in to the shvach or hoitzah of the yoyrid. This is the sheet of the Mechaber, at least according to the Sma. The Ramah, who's coming from Yerushalmi, says that no. This is very different than a yoyrid. In one way, there's a chumrah, in one way, there's a kula. On one hand, over here, you had instructions. You were supposed to make a dress like this. Had it been done correctly, let's make up numbers. Had you done it correctly, there's $10 worth of material. Had you followed my instructions, I would have an item that's worth $25. Materials are $10, I promised to pay you $10, and that would have been $5 of extra value that I'm going to have, that I can sell this on the market, I'm going to be $5 richer from this deal. Zogt der Ramah, if you don't listen to the instructions, the $5 that I was supposed to make, that had you done what you're supposed to, that I have to get. So what happens is like this. First we give the owner the $5 profit that he should have made gets rolled into the keren. So if there's $10 worth of material, you're supposed to get paid $10 for the job, and it would have been worth $25. What we say is like this: $15 goes to the owner. Whatever this item is worth more than $15, then the uman will get that as payment. So essentially, because the yoyrid didn't follow, the uman didn't follow instructions, as opposed to a regular yoyrid who gets his expenses up to the share of the improvement, here we roll into the keren the expected profit, and if you don't generate that profit, the uman is the one that's going to lose out. Right, the Mechaber says you're a regular yoyrid. Shvach or hoitzah, whatever it is, because that's what I did. I improved it, you have to pay me the improvement up to my expenses up to the value of the improvement. The Ramah says no. It's true, you improved it by, you spent $10, you improved it by $10. But it's not fair to make me pay $10 to you, because had you followed my instructions, it would have cost you $10, but I would have had $15 of value. So the Ramah holds the value I would have gotten had you done it right, that I have to get. Whatever's left over, if there is left over, I'll use that to pay your expenses. But first, I have to get my value. The Mechaber says, no such halacha. The deal that we had is off. It wasn't niskayim, but so we look at the shvach or hoitzah. But this idea that what would have happened otherwise, that the Yerushalmi holds of, the Mechaber does not. On the other hand, the Ramah is also a kula for the yoyrid, because you promised the yoyrid if he does the uman, that if he does the job right, you'll pay him $10 profit. If the job that he does produces the same level of revach as the other job, he'll get paid in full. So if he makes the dress, if it has the same value as had he done the right color, we don't look at the hoitzah, the actual labor that he put in, he will get the full value that he produced. And the pshat in this is, since that was the deal, he's not a yoyrid, he didn't just decide to paint your house, you needed the paint job. And you're willing to pay X amount of dollars for this job. So if he does another job which provides you the equivalent value, there he will get his full pay. So it's a chumrah in the Ramah that if he doesn't provide the same value, you will pay him less than his actual expenses. On the other hand, it's a kula for the uman that if he does provide the value, not only will he get his actual expenses, he'll even get the profit that he was promised. Now, over here, the Meishav Halacha says that's only when you're going to sell the item. On the other hand, this is by a dress where you need it for a chasana, where you don't care what the fair market value is. You care about matching the flowers. So he says it's not mistavra in that case, just because if you sell it in the shuk, it'll have the same value that the person gets the profit. In that case, he says, everyone would agree to the mechaber that you only pay for the actual labor, you don't pay for the profit, regardless of the fair market value.